I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored.
You may have done what they said you did, but
they are magnificent,
marvelous. You need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
Succeeded
in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a mission
hope.
In a world
about
where
the human focus
experience
is greatly
lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. I was thinking about the topic of telling the truth or lying. And I wanted to elaborate a little bit on this because I work with a lot of people by which we talk about relationships. And this topic comes up an awful lot about lying and why people lie. And right now I want you to think about a time when you were little and you might have told a lie and you felt bad about it. You know, you might have, you know, just way, way back when you were younger, you know, you did something or you avoided something or you blamed something on someone else and you lied about it and you felt bad about it, you know. And I want you to think about how you felt and what was the motivating factor behind that lie. And I think a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times when we're small, we lie because we're afraid of punishment. You know, maybe we broke something in the house, you know, and we're afraid that we're going to get grounded or we're going to get hit or something's going to be deprived from us. There's going to be some sort of punishment. And so we'll lie about that so that we won't have a consequence. So it's a little bit simpler, but as time goes on, people lie for a variety of reasons and it becomes a lot more kind of, you know, intricate whether or not, you know, we have a motive for it or we're in a predicament where we've been triggered by something that causes that lie to flow forth. But it's always good to have an inventory. And one of the things that I've learned in working with people is that, you know, there can be a lie that's told and it, let's just say a scenario in a marriage, for instance, let's just say you have a husband who gambles. So he lies about the fact that, you know, he gambled the money away. So, you know, say the wife notices in the account that, you know, there's $5,000 missing and he took the $5,000 and he gambled it away. That's the truth. But she notices it and then she confronts him on it and he lies about it. Well, now we have two different problems, don't we? The first one is that we have a gambler in the household. So I guess it's three problems. We have an addiction in the household. The second problem is that money has been stolen. So that's actually, you know, there he's a thief, right? You know, he's stolen something. But the third problem is that he's lying about it. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that people tend to get the most angry about the lying part. They are angry about the incident, whatever it was that happened. But many, many times they get angry about the lying because when people lie, then you begin to doubt whether or not you can trust that person with other things. Now, he may have taken that $5,000 and gambled it away, but because he lied about it, what else is going on? When he goes to the casino, is he cheating and taking someone else with him? When he's going to work, is he really working or is he gambling during the day when he's supposed to be there? Is he possibly losing his job? You know, does he have other people involved? Did he get, you know, your brother-in-law involved in gambling? Now you start to question everything. And when trust begins to fall apart, that's a very hard thing to build back up because I've always told couples, you know, you can lose trust in one moment with one incident, but it might take a year or two or a lot of work in order for trust to be rebuilt again. It takes a series of events that happen the way that they're supposed to happen without disruption, without being blindsided, where there's no issues, where there's medium days and there's no drama for a long period of time before people can build up trust. And so it's a very difficult thing. And I want to challenge, you know, all of us to be able to think about ways that we can turn our lies, any that we might make or say or whatever, into something a lot more minimal. So if you tend to lie out of 1 to 10, you lie at a 10. Like you're always lying every day, all day long, you're telling lies. if you could bring it down to a 7, you know, if you lie at a 5, bring it down to a 3. Just begin to make adjustments. And I think that there's a part of all of us that you lie a little bit, you know. You might tell your boss, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late. You know, I was caught in a lot of traffic. Well, that could be true, but you also maybe slept through your alarm, right? Correct. So that means that you got into the car a little bit later. And then, yes, you got stuck in the traffic as well. So I think that's a little, whatever, if you want to call it a white lie, it's a lie. And so if you can try to be more truthful, because a lot of times, like, for instance, I've worked with people who have reentered into the community from being in prison. And a lot of times what will happen is they will kind of talk through how they're going to handle a situation when they're at a job interview, for instance. So what do I say? You know, let's just say I went to prison because, you know, I used to sell drugs. You know, what do I tell this potential employer? Well, you know, there's been a lot of work that's been done on not having to, quote, check the box that you've been convicted of, you know, so that you at least have a chance to go to an interview. But what we'll often tell them is come up with sort of your Reader's Digest version of, you know, why you were arrested when it comes to that point. You don't have to tell them every single thing. You don't have to tell them the whole story of your life. You don't have to just disclose everything. You could just say, I was going through a period of time in my life where, you know, I was living with my grandmother. She had no money. She lost her benefits. We had no food. And I got caught up in the wrong crowd and I started selling drugs. But that was, you know, 10 years ago. And, you know, I have been, you know, rehabilitated and I learned my lesson and I want a fresh start. And being able to just tell the truth, because if you then are questioned and you lie about it, and then they find out that you lied, now there's two problems, right? One is that they're trying to figure out whether or not they're going to take a chance on somebody who has been formerly incarcerated. And 100% for me, that's a yes. Please give people a chance, right? They've done their time. However, the second problem is if you lie about it, now they're wondering if they can trust you. It's not just about, okay, you had a past. It's about, can I trust you now? Because right now you just lied to me. I just ran your background check. And if it checked out the way you said it, then that would have been truthful, but you lied about it. So now I'm questioning your integrity. So I think it's really important that we take a look at those things. And in relationships too, there tends to be a lot of lying that takes place. And I think that it's real important to understand that if you want to be in an intimate relationship and you want to have a significant commitment to somebody, you're going to have to be prepared to tell the truth. Even if, you know, it's going to be horrible. You know, I remember watching a movie about bank robbers, in Massachusetts. I can't remember the name of it. And the bank robber had been lying to this girl that he was dating for like a really long time. And she started finding out the truth. And she said, you know, I want to know what's really going on, what really happened. And he said, ask me whatever you want. And she said, how do I know that you're going to tell me the truth? And he said, because you're going to effing hate everything that I say, right? And I think the importance is that sometimes when we have to tell people the truth, they're going to hate what they hear. But at least they're going to get it, right? Then they have the ability to get over it. They have the ability to sit with it. They have the ability to absorb it. Then they can decide what they want to do with it after that. But if you're going to continue to just lie to somebody and to deceive them, that relationship is going to fall apart a lot quicker than what you just were originally struggling with. And so as time went on, I began to work with a lot of different clients and people and minister about this area of lying and truth telling. And I was able to come up with three different areas that people tend to struggle in why they tend to tell lies. Number one is the fear of punishment. We already talked about that with a young child, you know, what they might be dealing with when they're little. They don't want to get those consequences. Then again, it could even be deeper. You know, it gets deeper. You're in school and, you know, you said you didn't cheat and you did cheat and, you know, because you don't want to get that F. And then it can turn into, you know, you're starting to get with the wrong crowd and you get pulled over and they find some drugs in the car and then you tell them that's not mine. in my years of working with people who have had, you know, some arrests in the past, I've never heard of so many people that drive around with someone else's drugs in their car that don't belong to them, that someone just has them hold these drugs for them, because it's a typical lie that comes because, of course, people are trying to avoid the consequences. They don't want to get arrested. They don't want to have to deal with that. And so lying for a fear of punishment is something that we understand, right? We get that. It doesn't mean that it's right or that it's good. Police officers, I'm sure they have to navigate all the time when they're doing, or detectives when they're doing interrogations and interviews, they're constantly having to navigate through people lying. And I'm sure it gets frustrating at times. Not to say that everything that's done is exactly right, but I'm sure that there's a lot of lies they have to navigate through. But another aspect of where I see people lying is a fear of rejection or abandonment. If somebody thinks that they're going to be rejected by the truth that they bring forth, that to me is one of the deepest, most complicated reasons why people lie. If you're in a relationship and you keep screwing up, you know, you keep messing up, you keep, you know, spending more money than you should, or you got fired from a job. Remember, I told you that story about that man who got pulled over by my brother, actually, who was a police officer, and he hadn't been working for months, but he kept getting up every day pretending that he was working. That's a fear of rejection, right? Because he's thinking to himself, if I just tell her, quote, what a loser I am, which he's not a loser, but if I just show her what I think myself to be as a loser, she's going to reject me. She's going to throw me out of the house. She's going to divorce me or whatever. And so somebody would stick to these lies with the hope that they can stay in this relationship. Whereas an alternative would be transparency, to just say, listen, I know that I have messed up. I know that I haven't been contributing financially, or I know that I have dealt with an addiction of some sort. You know, I know that I haven't been helping out enough around the house, or I know that I've been dealing with my mental health issues and it's been affecting you, but I just want you to know that I appreciate you. I understand that I need to step it up, and I'm not really sure how, but I'm going to figure out a way to do it. Please be patient with me. That would go a long, long way if somebody could just say that. And I know that it takes a lot of insight in order to be able to do that. It takes that you can really look at your own situation and not blame others. A lot of people, when they're going through things, they want to blame sort of like the nagging mouth, you know, he or she just can't stop, you know, complaining about what's going on. But it's just the person that is pointing out what you already know, right? If you're in a situation where you're falling short. And so the best thing to do is to own it, right? And to come to a point where you can be transparent. But fearing rejection, fear having support be withdrawn, you know, having protection and support being taken away from you, and maybe never having it again. You know, I know that there are many, many kids that have struggled with their behavior, you know, when they're teenagers, and they screw up a lot. You know, it might be with struggling with addiction, or, you know, just being in a very, very difficult lifestyle that their parents don't approve of, and they have their parents stay with them and stand with them and give every bit of support, but they know that it's coming. There's going to be this point where they're going to do something and it's going to cause their parents to finally say, I wash my hands of this. I love you, but you can no longer stay in this house. Or I love you, but, you know, you're not allowed to be around, you know, the grandkids, or you're not allowed to be around this house. I'll meet you somewhere else, where they are able to see that at one point they've gone too far, that they've been rejected. And that's a horrible day to realize that your behavior and who you are has added up to something that is going to be rejected. And it has a lot deeper roots than what I'm mentioning, but it's a big reason why people lie. The other one is a fear of shame, and we're not going to go over that entirely because, you know, I want to refer you to the episode in season one, My Knees Are Bleeding. It's all about shame. But again, you know, if you're in a situation, same thing with that guy that was going to work every day but not really going to work. It really was fear of rejection and shame. But the fear that there is going to be some sort of shortcoming or humiliating disgrace that's coming. And that's the fear of shame. And so sometimes when people are lying, they're actually lying to themselves. They do lie to other people, but they're lying to themselves because they can't accept the fact that whatever it was that they did, they possibly engaged in. So they're really trying to erase the idea that they could be so humiliated and ashamed of what their actions added up to. And so they're lying to the person, but they're really lying to themselves. And so these are the three areas. And I want you to do some inventory in your own life about, you know, even situations now, if you know that there's a scenario in your life with a significant other or with your parents or at work where you have been lying or told a lie, I'd like to challenge you to really take a look at what is the fear behind it. Is it a fear of punishment? Do I think I'm going to get fired? Do I think that I'm going to get demoted? Do I think that I'm going to be rejected? Do I think that I'm going to be broken up with by this person or divorced? Do I think that I'm going to be humiliated by the omission of what happened? What is going to be the outcome of me coming clean with this? And I want you to just really think about it, because if you can pinpoint the area, if it's rejection or if it's shame or punishment, then you most likely can go back to other lies that you've told in your life. And most likely they're going to all be around that same particular fear. And that's what you have to uproot. Because to be in relationships, you want to be in relationships where you can have honesty, where you can tell the truth, even with our children, right? You know, we haven't lived perfect lives. And there's times when we need to just tell our kids the truth about whatever. You know, we don't have enough money for this, or we can't afford to go on vacation this year, or, you know, when I was 16 years old, I got arrested, but I was able to turn my life around. And I'm not saying that you do this, you know, the minute they come out of the womb. I just mean situations where it's important to be able to just tell our kids the truth, and tell one another the truth. And again, you know, protect yourself. You don't have to just be an open book. You don't have to just disclose everything to everybody. I'm talking about an inappropriate context and where you're asked. I mean, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yes and no are very simple answers. One word, one syllable answers. It's not this whole long narrative. And I know a lot of times when detectives are interviewing people, they're always caught on the fact that they might have somebody that's in that interrogation room. And when you ask them a simple thing like, well, where were you at 12 o'clock? They start talking about everything, what they ate for breakfast in the morning, and that they did a shortcut going to work, and that they found their, you know, scarf in the other room. A million details instead of just giving the one answer about where were you at 12 noon. And so when we're trying to get out of a lie, a lot of times it's just so many words. And Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, did you hurt your girlfriend? Yes. You know, did you cheat on your boyfriend? Yes. You know, did you show up to work on time? No. I mean, there's something that's really powerful. The Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And there's something that's really powerful about being able to just tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. And there's a couple of quotes I just want to go over. One of them is by Mark Twain, and it says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And I love that, because it's 100% right. It's dead on, right? The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. There might be a situation where you remember maybe one other little detail, but it's not going to deter from the bones and the structure of the truth that you told from the beginning. It's not going to waver. It's not going to go up and down. It's just going to stay in that vein of exactly what you said. And someone can interview you on a Tuesday and you say it, and then they can interview you on a Thursday or a month from now or a year from now, and you're still going to say the same thing. Maybe if it's many years, you'll forget a few details here and there, only because that's the way the memory works. But for the most part, the truth is the truth is the truth. Also, it says, you'll never find yourself until you face the truth. And that's by Pearl Bailey. And I really believe that that is a very, very good quote, in the fact that you know, if we want to really know who we are, we have to look at the reality of everything for us, you know, where we came from, the type of upbringing that we had, some of the struggles that we had. You know, I think there's something really therapeutic about coming to a point where you can take a real good look at your life and you can disclose it. Like when we're little, I think we're always trying to sort of paint these pictures about, you know, who we are and, you know, whether we have wealth or whether we have stability or, you know, whether we live on the wrong side of the tracks or the right side of the tracks, you know, whether or not we have the right style to wear in our clothing or whether or not we're a good athlete. We're always trying to present something and to grow up a little bit and to look back on our lives and to be able to say, yeah, I grew up in a family that was like working middle class, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, or to be able to just say, you know, my father was very emotionally distant, or to just have some sort of truth that we can frame for ourselves and that we can also share to others, because it really doesn't matter what we've been through in our lives. It matters because you went through it. It matters because it shaped who you were. It matters because you've had to survive whatever difficult times or, you know, wrap your head around some of the things that were confusing. But to others, people really love to hear somebody who is transparent about their experiences and somebody who has, who comes at it from a healed perspective. And so sometimes the truth is just really looking back and being able to say all those things you wish you could say when you were 5 years old or 12 years old, but you can finally say it later on in your life. Elvis Presley, truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away. And that's something that's very funny but true about this topic, which is that, you know, truth is definitely going to come out. It just is. It's going to be revealed. The Bible says that what's in the darkness is going to be brought to the light. So it doesn't always happen right away. Many, many years later, you know, people can discover the truth about what has happened, whether it's a murder that occurred or some sort of a crime that occurred, or even as it pertains to family matters, you know, some of the things that can go on generationally or in our families and things like that. You know, I remember as a kid hearing about, you know, this aunt who was sick or this aunt, you know, who was strange, and we would get these shoddy little versions of what was going on. And to finally be able to say, oh, I had an aunt who was a schizophrenic, and that's why they stayed in the house all the time. There's just truth that's there. My parents didn't want to say it. Maybe they didn't know it, but it's truth. And it just brings this reality. It's like the sun that just shines. I get it now. I get it, you know. But even the things that people deeply try to push aside and bury, it's going to come out, you know, when there's a trial and people are on, you know, on trial and trying to figure out whether or not they're going to be convicted, and you start seeing all the pieces of the evidence. Finally, truth is revealed. And hopefully that's in a case where it was all done the right way and it wasn't an injustice. And so, but no matter how much we try to hide it, it's going to come out. And it's funny how, as people, we constantly think that somehow we're crafty enough to be able to, you know, keep these things under wraps. But I truly believe that the Holy Spirit's job, one of them, is to reveal truth. And I've seen it happen in many, many situations with people that I've counseled in relationships or whatever, where eventually the truth comes out, because God is not going to be mocked by that, because God operates in truth. A lie gets halfway around the world before truth has a chance to get its pants on. That's Winston Churchill. And it's so true that, you know, truth and lies, you know, they can have legs to them, and lies can definitely have a lot of longevity, but truth is going to come out. Albert Einstein, anyone who does not take the truth seriously in small matters cannot be trusted in larger ones. And that's why it's so important. And what I'm talking about, if you're going to start a relationship out on a lie, for crying out loud, please rethink that. It would be better for you to lay it all out on the table to that person. Let them make the decision about whether or not they want to be with someone who's been to prison, or somebody who's had three marriages before, or somebody who has lost their children, or somebody who is broke, or somebody who's in debt, all of those things. Let them make the decision about whether or not they want to be with you. And they may give it a good shot. They may do that if they know that you're walking in integrity. If you're about to start out a new job, tell the truth. If you want to build a relationship with an employer, I remember helping a client who was dealing with a lot of issues that he had with having been incarcerated, and, you know, talked to him about how to be able to approach it with a new employer. And the employer was getting ready to run the background check, and we coached him on how to be able to not lie, but how do you frame exactly what happened in like a paragraph. And he went and he spoke to the owner of this company, and the owner listened to him and he said, you know what, I'm not going to run a background check. And he gave him a job for $90,000 a year and started from prison. You know, he had some time in between, but he went into a job making $90,000 a year. And that made all the difference to this guy because he told the truth. It wasn't about what he had done years ago. It was about, what are you doing today? How am I handling my life today? What type of integrity am I walking in today? So if you want to make sure that you start on the right foot, start by telling the truth. And of course, the scripture that many people have heard is, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And there is something that really should be put in our day-to-day life, is the reality of the fact that truth brings freedom. That knowing the truth about what's happened to us in the past, who we're around, mistakes that we've made, you know, the ugliness about us, because we all have it, being able to take a good hard look at that, being able to hear truth from somebody and move forward with it, it's going to bring freedom. Freedom is going to come from knowing the truth. And so I just pray truth over every one of you, that truth is revealed in a very gentle way, because I know that God is a gentleman, and I know that he's not going to overwhelm us with things. You're not going to all of a sudden go home and there's going to be millions of pictures of, you know, your dad who had cheated on your mom or anything like that. That's not the way God operates. But truth is right there in front of you if you just want to hear it, if you just want to know it. And to walk in truth is to honor God and is to honor the people. If you really love your parents, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you know, if you really love your job, if you really love your church, you know, by all means, a lot of lying that we do can happen in the church, right? Because we're all trying to pretend that we're so righteous, right? But it's, none are righteous, right? We go to church because we all need help. We go to church because we need support. We go to church because we need hope. We don't go to church because we have it all together. And so there's a lot of lying that happens. How are you, sister so-and-so? Oh, I'm great. Praise the Lord. God bless. And you know that they wept on the way there. They're weeping when they leave, you know. Families are having arguments in the car, you know, and it's not because there's something flawed on the inside of the church or, you know, with what the message was. It's because we are suffering from really this social disease of not being transparent with one another, because we are all going through a lot, especially at this time in our lives. People are stressed. People are broken. People are hopeless. People are scared. People feel abandoned by God. And God's truth is there for us. His hope is there for us. But also there's power in us recognizing the truth about ourselves, even if it means that we're feeling that way, even if we're angry at God, that we just reveal that truth and we say it, because God already knows what's in our hearts anyway. And that's the start of an intimate relationship, even with God, that you can be honest with God and honest with one another. Thank you for listening.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.